Oceano Community Services District, Wednesday, February 27, 2013. Carol Hank, can I have a roll call, please?
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Hurdle. Director White.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Moving on to item number 3, it's the flag salute. I'll join you.
One nation.
And Bob, you're
13 more days.
Wow. Well, thank you very, very much. I, in my household, really appreciate all your effort. I know a lot of people do.
Thank you, Bob. Is there any other public comment?
I have no other filled out slips, but...
Mr. Edwards is coming forward. Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. In your last meeting on February 13th, Commander Taylor made his report to the board, and there were some alarming statistics in what he had to say, and I wanted to chat a little bit about that. He said that between January 9th and February 13th, the sheriff's office received 461 calls for service in Oceano. So that's just over a month, and at a rate of 12 to 15 calls a day, I guess, is how it works out. These are burglaries, petty thefts, vandalisms, robberies. And I have to imagine it concerns your board and the community. And the point I'd like to make this evening is that I believe there is a correlation between unemployment, the lack of a job, and crime. And there are some national studies that look at this, the correlation between unemployment and crime, and I think it should be very high on your list of priorities. People, if you have a job, you're busy, you're active, you're doing things, you have money, you can stimulate the economy. You're talking about a lot of things to stimulate the economy locally, revitalization, and farmers market, and Cinco de Mayo, and these other functions, which are all great. But I think at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, are we working, or are the things we're doing helping to create jobs in the community? And unfortunately, Oceano has chronic double-digit unemployment, and has for some time. That's got to change. The status quo has to change. And I believe it's incumbent upon your board to help make that happen to the extent that you can. And I realize you're only a community services district. You have limitations. But I think you are engaging yourselves in a lot of activities. And I would urge your board to weigh or compare the things you're doing on a daily basis, policy decisions, and so forth, against this measure or standard of unemployment or jobs. So I'd like to just conclude by suggesting that perhaps you even create a subcommittee of your district. You have a finance committee and a personnel committee, but I'd encourage you to create a jobs committee and really dig into it and try to develop some other policies and, again, measure your normal business against this standard. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment? I see Ms. Tacker coming forward.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I live in Los Osos. It's interesting that Mr. Barlaggio was here tonight. I'm interested in sewers. I served on the Los Osos CSD for 4 years, and I find a lot of commonality between our two communities. With regard to your sewer, I am an interested party. I asked the water board to be notified when anything happens with regard to any violations or the next hearing or the enforcement, because I am interested in those things. Your general manager doesn't like that I want to know anything about your sewer or anything about your district. He doesn't like me. I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to hopefully offer you some solutions, to have you ask hard questions, to be the best directors that you can be for the citizens of your community. He's gone to great lengths to try to keep from being transparent as anything but a concerned citizen. Mr. Geislin has signed under penalty of perjury in his Form 700 for conflict of interest that he is an enrolled agent, that he is the CEO of Titan Lending, that he, where's my third one, that he is a managing member of Starlight 55 LLC. Mr. Geislin is,
thank you
well,
very much.
Hardly any of
other,
those things.
Is there any other public comment this evening?
No other sheets.
Okay, I think the next thing we have on our agenda is closed session. There are two matters. Under 6A, Comments of Legal Counsel, existing litigation, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al. Under 6B, Conference with Legal Counsel, Anticipated Litigation, Significant Exposure to Litigation, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D2, one potential case regarding Julie Tacker, Cure and Correct letter, dated February 11th, 2013. We would normally take this at the back of the calendar, but we have an attorney on hold waiting for us. And so we're going to go to the front room and adjourn at this time. It is 10 minutes to 7, and hopefully we'll be back shortly. Thank you, everybody. Call this meeting back to order. It's the Oceano Community Services District. It is 7:19 p.m. Everybody's present except for Mary. Well, here she comes. We have just adjourned from closed session. As to each item, there is no reportable actions. Moving on to item number 7, special presentations. There are none. Item number 8, consent agenda, review and approval of minutes. I actually do have a comment on that, and cash disbursements. My comment on the consent agenda under 8A, the February 13th, 2013 meetings, under 8CC on my report, Carol Ann, I did comment that there was a special meeting that was going to be the following Monday regarding a district administrator review. And that was the only... the following Monday was, I don't know what date that was now. Is that the 11th?
18th.
Yeah. 18th, excuse me, yes. And that was my only change or addition to that. Does anybody else have a change or addition to the minutes?
I have none.
Any changes or concerns to the warrants?
I have none.
I did see, Tom, the municipal maintenance equipment, $25,000.
That's the down. Jetter.
Is there any other?
I just had one question.
Sure.
The rental, U.S. rental?
We had lights that we had to replace, so we needed reach lift equipment, and then we had to rent another piece of equipment from U.S. Rents. I can't remember what it was.
Okay. It just wasn't a Jetter, right?
Say again? No, it wasn't a Jetter.
when we put the down payment, well, we can talk about it later during. Okay. Is there any other questions or concerns with the consent agenda?
I move that we pass the consent agenda.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Consent agenda carries by 5-0 vote. Our next item is reports. 9A, Farmers Market. The Chair, Mary Lewis. Is she here? Hi, Mary.
I saw her there.
Good evening, Mr. President, Madam Vice, and directors. And I'm so happy to be here before you again for my second report of 2013 for the Oceano Community Farmers Market. We continue to move ahead. We have been using subcommittees as our most useful tool. We've added a few new members, which is always exciting. We've recently created a new committee, the Entertainment Committee, which is looking at our options for a Cinco de Mayo celebration for the farmers market. And our anticipated start date is still somewhere between April and May, depending on the approval of applications and all that other stuff. We're looking at a site which will most likely be the Oceano Community Center, which is on 17th and Wilmar. And our target time slot is still 1 to 4. We are aware that the Everyday Church uses the Rec Center gym site, but we've opened communication with them, and they're willing to accommodate us for anything that we might need. And we look forward to working with them, you know, having that great crowd. We're looking at our possibilities.
Could you show the audience the logos, too? Thank you, Vanna.
We've got green, blue, and, of course, the black and white. We're probably going to go with the blue option as it's Oceano, so you want to work in a little bit of the ocean side with that. Although I think the green looks really great, too. Mm-hmm. But we'll probably go with the blue one. And we are also very excited with our low-income outreach. We've acquired a new connection with Heal Slow, as well as the local public health clinic. And we think that that will be a great opportunity to inform parents and children about healthy eating habits and help bring more families into the farmers market, which is one of our key demographics, is to help, you know, build better family eating habits. And at our last meeting, our officers, myself, my vice, and secretary voted unanimously to approve the decision to be a certified farmers market. Okay. And as are the other farmers markets in this area. And that will require a $500 yearly fee to reach the certification. And with that, we are still looking at approximately $5,000 to $5,500 in startup funds. And as of now, we haven't spent anything. We're still gauging how much it will cost and what we can accomplish with the least amount of, you know, least amount of cost to the taxpayers. And currently, we have not spent any funds besides low-level printing. And in the financial department, we have drafted a letter of solicitation when we're looking for sponsors for donations as another avenue to keep the general budget cost to a minimum on behalf of the OCSD. And with that, I ask the board to consider the $5,500 to help us cover the startup costs as allowed by your budget. And that's, in closing, I just, as spokesperson for the committee, I will continue to represent the intentions of OCFM and work together with OCSD to bring this much-needed farmers market to the Oceano people.
Thank you very much, Mary. Thank you, Mary.
Is there any questions?
Mary, if people want to donate, say, like paper for flyers, you know, a big copy machine with lots of copies left, you know, where do we go here?
Well, you could talk to me, of course, but as far as where I could put a big copier machine, I mean...
Not in your front room?
Not my front room. I think this building is probably bigger than my whole house, so I can't put it there. But if that option is still available, I'm still looking for places to put that, and any other donations we'd gladly accept.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
You know where to find me. I know where to find you.
Thank you very much, Mary.
You.
Moving on to item number 9B, OCSD Operations General Manager Tom Kieslin. Good evening, Tom.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the crowd for coming tonight. You either read it in my Friday report or you watch it on television. I can't tell you what this means to me. This is your community. We work so hard to do it, and I'm just glad you're here to support OCSD and your general manager and your staff. And the staff is also those guys in the blue uniforms there because we provide the funding in the housing, and they take care of the people in Oceano, take the bar and rate as high as you want. They're going to jump over it for you. So I'm very, very pleased about that. As far as what's actually been happening in the OCSD since our last meeting, we're in the middle of audit testing, and we are almost we're in the home stretch. We've got some payroll issues that we're testing, and then we got some vendor issues that we're testing. But most part, it's going very well, so we should be getting a report. I'm hoping by the middle of March, end of March, that'll be the audit for 2010-2011. And that'll be the third one, and then I'm personally buying the staff steak and lobster when we finish that one as part of my agreement. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we're doing, and before when I first got here, because when the Davises left, there was a thing called a budget and it was adhered to. And then when the Davises left, the budget, we looked at it. It was pretty sad. So I put a single line item budget together, and that's what we were working to. So now that we've got the thing straight, the fund and the accounting straightened out in Tyler, we now can do a fund budget. And so you will be getting, hopefully by the next meeting, the draft of the budget for us to review for the next year. And you also get a tracking on where we fall out to budget. So we're currently working on that right now. And I want to thank Phil and Gina for coming by tonight. It's great to have you in the room. The other thing we've been doing is it's second notice time. So the bills have gone out. We've gone through major collection. As you saw in the Friday report, the amount of money that's been coming through, and now we're doing second notices. We're fielding a lot of customer service. Fire, developer, OCSD, and planning is really functioning like a fine-tuned machine, and there's a tremendous amount of open communication, and we're all identifying the problems before they become problems, and I would say for the most part the developers are extremely happy. We've, with the amount of work we've been doing on the yard, we've accumulated a flatbed full of scrap, and so we made two scrap runs this week, and that brought an extra $200 cash into the business, into the district. We just installed new programmable logic controllers on wells 4 and 6, so we will be able to program when the when we need to add water, and it also warns if the warns us if there's problems. So that's the stuff that you're getting with when you see the technical things in the warrants. That's the cleanup of that. We've been trying to get caught up on the painting. If you notice, all our water lines are trying to be blue. The hydrants are getting painted. We also had a bunch of electrical panels that we put new ones in, so that made the old ones look kind of shoddy. So we've been trying to get caught up on that, but we've had some windy days, so we don't paint when it's windy. You'll notice around the buildings in the yard, we've had to put a tremendous amount of OSHA compliance signs up, and if you look at the restrooms, we now have Braille signs, and then for the fire extinguishers, we clearly call them out. That's more of those regulation expenses that I was talking about. Well, 8 cleanup down the road, we've done that, hit it pretty hard and took out a bunch of stuff, and we're preparing to move the fire training on the other side and have a fence put up to protect theirs. The lift station, we've dumped quite a bit of money getting it up to speed, and I have to say that we now have regular cleaning cycles down there, and it is a confined space area, and we have confined space training, another regulation that we had to go through, and all three guys, I tried to get through it, but I kept getting phone calls during the thing, so three of our guys are now confined space trained, and the lift station, we're also looking at possible ways to bring some of the controls above ground so we limit the amount of time that we have to go down, but that's a completely different project and kind of a like, gee, wouldn't it be great if we could do this? We received some issues during the rain. In granted, the rain that we got a couple weeks ago, there was a lot in a very short period of time, and so the old fire station got flooded in the patio area and everything, so we snaked out that storm drain to take care of our renters. The engineering RFP, we fielded questions, and we did get 3 packages in today, but they came in at a close of business, so there was nothing to prep the board for. We have these valves called clay valves, and they have a bladder inside, and we have several of them, and Aaron believed that not only should we use them, but we should probably get training, so we had a clay valve rep, and then 2 people from a Bakersfield district came over and trained with our guys last week on clay valves, and they actually installed 2, and they rebuilt 1, and so it was on-the-job training, and I believe that all 3 of the gentlemen will also have clay valve certifications. Those valves are extremely expensive, and now we know the proper way to maintain them, and so Aaron's putting together a training and the SOPs for those as well. The SOP is standard operating procedure. I just, you know, we receive, or we submit as part of the NCMA, We receive the annual report. It gets turned into the courts on April, and I just received the first draft today, so Oceano and the sister agencies will go through it. It's still under attorney-client, and so I won't have anything to report, but we are starting to go through all that as of today. Farmers market activity, Mary updated you on most of that. Last week I attended the NCMA managers meeting, and we did a budget review, and there were some minor changes to the budget, but the budget appears to be our costs have dropped a little bit, so I'll be bringing that to you to the next meeting so we can certify it along with our other agencies. And then with the RAC, Oceano will make a presentation on the state of Oceano at the April RAC meeting, and we will be covering all the things that we've addressed over the last couple of years, and that'll be an actual formal presentation. And that's all I have, and if you have any questions, I'll gladly field them. And I want to again thank the people in the crowd for showing up today. I really appreciate it. And I love the shirts.
Thank you, Tom. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
The airport, but right now it's just in a discussion stage. But I found that very interesting. I did have our fire meeting, our JPA, on the 15th of February. Nothing really transpired there other than the fact that several months ago we discussed holding our meetings bi-monthly, but we decided at this last meeting that we will continue to meet monthly, particularly with the projects that we have coming down the pike. And I did also attend the OAC meeting, the Oceano Advisory Committee meeting, but I will defer to my colleague, Karen, because you are the primary on that.
Thank you.
I attended two different sanitation district meetings. The first was February 18th. The next one was February 20th. For those who don't know, John Wallace resigned or retired after almost 28 years as the district administrator. There's still issues to hammer out. Obviously, there will be. The sanitation district has called for a special meeting tomorrow, Thursday, February 28th, at 2 p.m., and this will not be held here at the OCSD, but this will be held at the Arroyo Grande City Council Chambers. This is something I mentioned. I saw Chief Ricky, Chief Heath. I saw Ricky Heath the other day, and I did mention that to him and encouraged him when we have a new administrator on to get to know that person so that you guys have open communications and access, obviously, to the particular plant. This meeting tomorrow will discuss, it's closed session, but we'll discuss the appointment or employment of a public employee, i.e. bringing on a new administrator. What I anticipate happening is a interim general manager, an interim administrator to help us hire the next person. Hopefully we can hire somebody who will bring a long relationship and help the plant get to where it needs to be. I think everybody also knows that the day following this, on February 21st, we received a unsatisfactory report from the state after another inspection. Actually, it's from an independent source who forwarded on to the state. There may be yet another notice of violation coming to the sanitation plant, and so it's going to be a critical time for the sanitation plant to get on its feet to operate in a safe and efficient manner. And I think that the employees and the board are all looking forward to a fresh perspective and a fresh set of eyes looking at this particular plant and making sure that it is safe and will continue to operate for a long time for our community. So those are all my reports, Vice President Lucy.
I didn't have any meetings between this one and the last one, but I know that Director Angelo and I are getting ready to look at the Zone 3 budget, annual budget, so we'll do that this week and speak to Mr. Gieslin about it and give a good report on where we are at Zone 3.
Thank you. Karen White?
Yeah, I was at the Oceano Advisory Committee meeting, And one of the things we did is we approved the county's documentation to in support of the farmers market. They pushed that through the advisory councils, and it was approved unanimously. And the other thing we spent time on was the issue of Oceano's name being changed to Oceano Beach. And there was a discussion about that because there has been somebody who proposed changing the name, and it was discussed at length, and the proposal had come to someone, to Paul Teixeira, our supervisor, and he had forwarded it to the advisory committee for consideration. And we sent back a report that said it's 50-50. A lot of the people who've lived in Oceano a long time do not want the name changed, and people who have been here a shorter length of time do want the name changed. And nobody has really dealt with the costs, because there has to be an election of some type, and that's going to cost somebody money. And then the cost of changing everything from the maps, the publicity that's just been put out, people's business cards, the post office, and all the other issues. So it's still in limbo, and I guess it's up to people who want the name changed to move forward in some kind of petitioning to request for an election or something. I mean, that's what I was told.
Thank you, Karen.
Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
No. Thank you.
Moving on, item number 10, public report was... That was from last week. If you want to speak to this agenda item,
okay,
using your argument, this
okay,
would be
I'll
this
speak
report.
To this agenda. You just heard how proud your GM was about the rant from last time. His "I'm mad as hell" rant. And you see the T-shirts here, the juvenile T-shirts. And I'd just like to make one point, and then I'll move on. And that is that, you know, if you can't take on an issue and debate the issue, then you attack the person. And that's what your general manager seems to be very good at. If he can't debate,
you want to stick to an agenda item. This is a personal attack. Let's not do that.
This is his district. His report. That's what it is. So, you know, I don't know what you continue to interrupt me, but I'm simply making a point that if your general manager doesn't like what somebody says, or
sir,
doesn't
if you want to comment on this. That's it. This is the last warning, or I'm cutting you off. This is the last warning, or I'm cutting you off.
From this evening?
Well, whatever. Let me move on then to the OAC meeting that I attended on Monday, and you heard Directors Hurdle and White report on it. And, Director, the question was revitalization, and I don't know if you know, but the plan is a little bit behind schedule. They probably won't make it to the Board of Supervisors until May. But the most important thing that came out of the discussion at the advisory committee meeting was Ms. Hurdle asked, when are we going to see the first project from revitalization? And the staff person, Karen Nall, with a very puzzled look on her face, said, gee, there isn't a first project. And so I just wanted to make your board aware of the fact that the whole idea behind revitalization is a Caltrans-driven process. And if you think that the Caltrans process is going to result
in
significant changes to the community,
thank you, Mr.
you are mistaken. No, thank you.
Ms. Tacker?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and Mr. Giesen's report did speak to an upcoming budget. I know Ms. Lucy just said that Zone 3's budget is already in draft form. I'd like to see the district's draft budget sooner as opposed to later. Last year, it came quite late. And then Mr. Giesen also spoke to the audit testing. You know, over $100,000 of this district's money has been spent on bringing the audits into compliance. And something Mr. Giesen did not report on is that he didn't file his government compensation report with the state controller's office, and your district is facing a $5,000 fine because that report has not been submitted. I went on the website today. It's not there. It belongs there.
This is not on our agenda, Ms. Tacker.
Right. It's an omission in Mr. Gieslin's accounting performance. So the only other, I will change subjects too. The only question I had was, I understand that at the Oceano Community Advisory Council meeting that Mr. Verndahl was there and asked how he could have a booth at your farmer's market. And I didn't know he was a farmer. I understand that he sells tools. And I just was curious how that works with your mission statement. And then I'll ask one more question. With the warrants and the expenses reported for the farmer's market, Mr. Martin has, I believe, billed for his services. I would ask that you donate those services for your writing of the resolution and the looking over the bylaws. But if you can't, then I'm sure the taxpayers will pick that up.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment? Ms. Barbara Mann? Good evening, Barbara.
Barbara Mann, resident of Oceano and chairperson of the Oceano Advisory Committee. Just to clear up a couple of misstatements that were made, one of the items that came before the committee, county came out to talk about a project, I believe it's called LUCE, Land Use Commission something. And what they came to tell us was they're moving Oceano into a, we used to be in the San Luis Bay portion. Now they're moving us down into our own. There is no money involved in that. They're not doing anything. They're just moving things to make it easier. What we're supposed to do, we approved the farmer's market. If Mr. Dahl asked about being a part of it, I have no idea who he asked. He might have asked Director Hurdle. I didn't hear it, and they were sitting kind of next to me. But when you look at the list of things that they're planning on doing at the farmer's market, maybe tools is on there. Who knows? But I just wish this board would be able to deal with the real work of the community and forget some of this other stuff that takes up so much time and it costs all of us as taxpayers, because the longer the meetings run, the more it costs and the less that gets done. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mann.
Thank you, Barbara.
Is there any other public comment this evening?
No, I'd just like to make a comment, though. One of the speakers had asked legal counsel to donate their time, right? The same person who actually, I'm holding a cure and correct letter from her and is requesting legal fees to be paid. So, you know, we call that talking out both sides of our neck, is that, you know, you're asking legal counsel to volunteer, and meanwhile you have an invoice in your hand for legal expenses. So, and most of our legal in that area is spent on unnecessary cures and corrects, but transparency is working.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 11A, consideration of the Five Cities Fire Authority Special Financing District Feasibility Study by NBS. Fire Chief Aaron S., good evening. You gave me a lot of reading this week, by the way.
Before we start this, can we get a 5-minute break?
I'm sorry, Chief. I'm getting requested for a break.
Can we just, before we go in, launch into this?
It's 7:51 p.m. Why don't we come back at 7:56, and there's a lot of people here for this presentation. We'll try to keep it right at 5 minutes. I'm sorry, Chief. Keep the hammer down, Chief. And
sorry?
We're trying to keep the hammer down.
So. Okay.
I just lost Lori.
Night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Gina. We get Mary back. Is she out there?
Where's Director White?
Mary? She's in the restroom. Sorry, look for Mary. Sorry.
Is this from you, Lori?
Mm-hmm. Where are they?
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Well, here comes Director White. All right, AGP. All right. We'll call this meeting back to order. It is 7:57 p.m. Director White is present. We have a quorum. We're missing Director Lucy at this time. Chief Aranes.
Thank you. Good evening, Board President and Board members. Joel Aranes, Five Cities Fire Authority. Making a presentation to you tonight on a study that was done by NBS. And to my left is our consultant, Adina Light, from NBS. When I'm done with my presentation, she will present her presentation, and then we'll take any questions that you may have at that time. Beginning on Monday, we made this presentation to the Grover Beach City Council. And what they adopted was they received the feasibility study and report from NBS. They provided direction to their Five Cities Fire Authority representative to proceed with the process of forming a parcel tax. And three, provided direction to their Five Cities Fire Authority representative to create the parcel tax without a sunset clause. Mm-hmm. And use the average consumer price index for Los Angeles, Riverside, and Orange counties as an automatic escalation factor. Last night, we made the presentation to the Arroyo Grande City Council, and they are supportive of the concept. However, they would like to provide direction to that Five Cities Fire Authority representative to create the parcel tax without a sunset clause due to the long-term annually recurring obligations funded by the parcel tax and use the average consumer price index of Los Angeles, Riverside, and Orange counties as an automatic escalation factor. And you may also want to add a cap to that escalation factor also. So if we get into times where we're in higher inflationary times, we might want to put a cap on that CPI of whatever you deem necessary, or leave that up to the Fire Authority Board. But I think there should be a cap on that escalator anyway. So as you all are aware, you know, in 2010, the Fire Authority was formed. And the Fire Authority was formed on three premises. One was to reduce response times, increase efficiencies, and to increase the service level that was provided by the formerly the three fire departments. So when the authority was formed, there are all those people that would say, no, we formed the authority in order to save money. Well, that's true. We did want to save money, and so now why are we coming back for more money? And to show you that we are saving money, what we did was we looked at the footprint of the authority, and you see the three different colors there of the three jurisdictions, Oceano Community Services District, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande. And what we did was we said, okay, if they were providing the same service that the authority is providing, you would have one fire chief, one executive assistant, three fire captains, three engineers, and three firefighters, and then we tacked on 14% to that budget for things like apparatus, fuel, maintenance, repairs, that sort of thing. And the number comes up to $1.6 million. Over the three jurisdictions, that would total $4.8 million, and you can see our budget is $3.6 million. The savings that also the each individual entity has enjoyed, they've been enjoying those savings and those efficiencies since 2007 for Grover Beach, when they started sharing the responsibilities of the fire chief and the training officer position. And then in 2008 or 2009, Oceano came on board and was sharing a fire chief. And so you've been enjoying those savings since before the authority was formed, if you will, and you continue to enjoy the savings that that you see here. That being said, the way the authority was formed and budgeted did not include a number of things in our budget that are, in my opinion, needed. And so what we have provided in this study is the things that are not in our budget and what we would like to, well, not what we would like to have, what we deem necessary to have in order to carry on the work of the authority. Now, one of the things that the authority has started to do was to start benchmarking our response times against the National Fire Protection Association 1720, which is response to emergency calls. Not just fire calls, but medical aid calls, fire calls, hazmat, urban search and rescue, whatever the issue may be. And to do that, we need to get that first piece of equipment on scene within 5 minutes, 90% of the time. On a structure fire, we need to get the full effective force, which is 14 firefighters, on scene within 9 minutes, 90% of the time. The way that the authority was working before, we had two people on duty here at Oceano, three on duty at Grover, and three on duty at Arroyo Grande, for a total of eight on-duty staffing. With a chief officer, that brought us up to nine. So we required on automatic aid engines from Pismo Beach and from Napomo, and that would get us up to the 14. However, because of the distance that had to be traveled by the Pismo station and the Mesa station up in Napomo, those distances are just too great for those engine companies to traverse in order to get on scene within 9 minutes. So we were not capable of meeting 1720 at all. So we went after a safer grant, and we applied to the federal government. And what we showed the federal government was, with the additional staffing of two more on duty each day, up to 10, we would have a better chance of meeting NFPA 1720 because we would only be relying on one automatic aid engine from Pismo Beach, which is closer than the Mesa engine company. Now, we were successful with the SAFER grant. We went out and we hired three engineers and three firefighters. You now enjoy three firefighters here at the Oceano Station. There are three in Grover Beach and four in Arroyo Grande. With the 10 personnel, like I say, we're able to get closer to meeting the NFPA standard. Our response times are listed on our website. I believe we're at an average time of 5 minutes and 17 seconds, and we update those on a monthly basis for anybody to see. Now, the SAFER grant will run out. It's for 2 years. And once the SAFER grant runs out, then either the authority is going to have to pick up the cost of those six extra bodies, or we're going to lay them off. And we don't want to do that. We want to still try to maintain our response standard. And, of course, we want to be able to staff our two in and two out, which is a mandate, a federal mandate, in a timely fashion. So we put together a strategic planning group. There they go.
There goes two in and two out, right?
And we put together our strategic planning group, and we looked at things that are critical to the operation of the authority, over and above what the SAFER grant is, but certainly including the SAFER grant to keep those people employed. And so in your report, you see under additional personnel, the three engineers, the three firefighters, and what those costs are. This is salary, wages, benefits. And we also added one battalion chief in. Right now, as Tom talked about earlier on fire prevention issues and working with developers and builders in the area, we have a 56-hour captain that takes care of our fire prevention needs for Grover Beach and Oceano. The system does work. It's not optimum because he's on 2 days and he's off for 4 days. And always the developer needs something on his day off. So if we can hire a battalion chief, dedicate that position to being the fire marshal throughout the entire authority, any developer within the authority would come to our fire marshal, submit the plans, and be checked that way. And you can see the cost next to that one battalion chief. The next personnel addition is bringing our permanent part-time staff member up from permanent part-time, 32 hours, up to a 40-hour work week. And then a shared fire mechanic. We currently have no mechanic to work on our apparatus. Our personnel do what they can with it, and other than that, we have to send it out to the private sector, which isn't always a bad thing, but sometimes they work on their time schedule and not on ours, and of course we're a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day operation. We don't have enough work for a mechanic full-time, but if we can share a mechanic with Santa Maria, San Luis Obispo, that sort of thing, I think it would be in our best interest. And so total personnel, we're looking at $889,801. Under capital, we currently have no apparatus replacement budget. As apparatus ages, such as the piece of equipment here, it's a 1996 engine. We like to use those engines for 16 years frontline and then put it into reserve for 4 years, and then after 20 years, it's out the door. So you can see at 96, it's getting ready to be replaced. We have no budget in place to replace that piece of equipment. It's the same thing with equipment, personal protective equipment, SCBAs, thermal imaging cameras, gas monitors, extrication equipment, the jaws of life, if you will. All those things, of course, have a shelf life, and as it ages and has to be taken out of service, it has to be replaced. And again, there's no budget available for that. We have no budget for building repairs. Should we crash through a door, that's an expense that we're gonna have to bear. And of course, like I say, we're gonna have to look for that someplace in the budget, but it's not going to be under buildings, I assure you. And then under support services, our training budget currently is $13,000. We have 23 full-time employees. We have 23 reserve firefighters. You can see that with 46 employees and a $13,000 budget, that just does not go very far at all. So we've increased our training budget by $45,000 with this. We think that that's going to be a more robust and a better training budget for us, and will suit the needs of the firefighters and give them the training that they need to carry on business. IT, information technology, one of the things that we were tasked with by the Fire Authority Board was to become more independent in our information technology. Up front, it's a $75,000 bill, and then it's an ongoing cost of about an additional $5,000 to $7,000, I believe, off the top of my head. So we put $10,000 in there a year for IT in order to become $801. It's quite a bit of money. We took that and we turned that over to NBS, and they built their scenarios and they did their study of what that would look like per residential unit, and Adina will go over that with you. We also have based this on our polling results from Terrain Consulting. That polling was completed in September of 2011, and it showed us that at a $66 per year rate per residence, that we would have a good chance of passing a two-thirds vote, which is required for a parcel tax, which is what we're asking you for. So that is a two-thirds vote. Something that has come up on the horizon is this Assembly Constitutional Amendment by Assemblymember Campos. and that would lower the supermajority of two-thirds down to 55%. However, in talking to the California professional firefighters and Cal chiefs, if this goes through, it probably will not be effective until January of 15. So really it's something we will continue to watch. If we can use it to our advantage, we certainly will. But at this point in time, we don't think it's going to benefit us. Some of the alternatives, well, I'll let Adina go over the alternatives as far as benefit assessments and parcel taxes and community facilities district. But asking for $1.44 million, it is a lot of money. One point I want to make and be very clear about is this will not be going towards firefighter wages. It will not be going towards firefighter benefits. It will not be going towards their retirement benefits. This is strictly to fund what I have just gone over. Any enhancements to wages, benefits, or retirements will be done at the negotiations table, and it would not affect this parcel tax. And even with this parcel tax, you have the slide on the... when I look at per capita costs of fire protection throughout the county, currently Five Cities Fire Authority residents pay the least amount of fire protection in the county. Our per capita cost is $97 per person. The next entity closest to that is Atascadero, and they pay $122 per person. And it goes up from there. With this parcel tax, and adding the $1.44 million to our current budget, it will still make the Five Cities Fire Authority one of the most affordable fire delivery systems in the county. It will take us from $97 to $135 per person. We will be ahead of Atascadero, but we will still be behind everybody else. So we still think it's a good deal as far as fire protection goes. We know that it's a lot of money. We know what the economy is. However, we simply cannot sustain our operation with the amount of budget that we have today. So with that, I will turn it over to Adina. She will run through her presentation, and if you have questions, we'll be happy to answer those.
Thank you, Chief. We'll hold questions until Adina Light is finished. Good evening, Ms. Light.
Good evening. Good evening, Board. No.
She has a PowerPoint.
There should be, that white covered document.
This one, is it?
That's the one,
correct. The one that says NBS on the front. Thank you.
That's the one. So as Chief Ernaz mentioned, we were hired by the Five Cities Fire Authority to go ahead and conduct a feasibility study of a special financing district. The original budgetary goals and personnel needs that the fire chief went over are what drove the study and the creation of the budget. The biggest thing to keep in mind here is that we're looking for a budgetary need that ensures the safety of the firefighters and the community that they serve and protect. The funding options that we looked at initially were both a fire benefit assessment and then a special tax, such as a community facilities district or parcel tax. A fire benefit assessment has a lower voting threshold and is only required to do a simple majority protest hearing, and the property owners are who would vote in that election. However, with a special benefit assessment, special benefit requirements, and these specific fire suppression statute limitations are not something that's going to fit the fire authority's needs. We looked at the calls that the fire authority, and they can pay for all services provided by Five Cities Fire. So that way they're able to fund the full budget that they're looking for. This would have to be a county election because it is registered voters, and there are over 21,000 registered voters in the combined community, so that requires a full election with polling places, et cetera. The main difference between a community facilities district and parcel tax really comes into play with the formation, and actually a community facilities district is a little bit more restrictive and cost prohibitive, and just in terms of the additional reports and recordings and diagrams and things that are needed during the formation that aren't required by a parcel tax. But all the voter registration or registered voter requirements, et cetera, are all the same. What we looked at was we looked at the property data. This is a table that kind of breaks down the land use for all three communities and what the combined total is for everything within the Five Cities Fire Authority jurisdiction. And that gives you single-family residential units of 10,300, multifamily residential units of just under 6,600, and commercial property that's developed at about 840 parcels. As I mentioned, between the three communities, there's just under 21,500 registered voters. So in order to apply the budgetary need of $1.44 million annually, we looked at the call volume again from 2011, and we looked at the reasonability of where those calls were generated from, what types of property the firefighters had to respond to, and came up with a reasonable split between residential and commercial types of properties. And what it ends up breaking out to is $63 per unit for single-family residential. Multifamily is at $56 per unit. And then the commercial industrial properties are about $445 per parcel per year. So on a monthly basis, what that breaks down to is just over $5 for a single-family residential parcel.
Can you give me those numbers again, please?
Sure. It's $63 per unit for a single family. The report that you have, the budget was just under the $1.44 million, so we had to adjust it slightly in order to reach the full $1.44 million.
Yeah. Is that on page 4-1?
It is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it went up $1 for a single family.
$2.
Okay.
You have listed here 54, and you just said 56.
Yeah, that's for multifamily.
She's on mm-hmm. screen, too.
So single family went from 62 to 63. And then commercial went up a bit more. It's at 445 per parcel. So just to give kind of an illustration of what the monthly cost for a single family parcel is, the special tax is about comparable to a gallon of gas, a McDonald's meal, and a Starbucks grande latte. So it's very reasonable in terms of the actual monthly budget. As Chief Arenas mentioned, the fire protection per capita comparisons for San Luis Obispo County agencies. The existing budget, the Five Cities Fire Authority serves about 38,000 people, and it only costs $97 per capita for the services that they provide. With the financing district, it would still only bring it up to $135. And as you can see, that's considerably lower still than a lot of the other communities in the area. So that brings us to the next steps, and what we need to do at this time is to go ahead and determine the funding mechanism and rate levels, go through with the community outreach and polling, including exploring length of tax and CPI options, and then the actual formation process of the special financing district. So that concludes my presentation. If there are any questions.
Mary, do you want to go first, Mary?
Go first, Mary. This is the only study you did? It is.
That was presented to the board in December, and then since then there were a few changes that were requested. That's the report.
And can I ask, what was the cost to the ratepayers for this?
For the report? Honestly, I don't know that off the top of my head.
The total contract for India was $64,500.
My recommendation,
And the
help
reason,
us ignorant ones.
Oh, sure.
Consumer Price Index. So it's broken out basically. There's either a San Francisco San Jose index.
Correct.
Or a Los Angeles. And there's different ways to do it in different communities up here because you're kind of in the middle. Some go strictly with Southern California, some go strictly with Northern, some do a blended. We're recommending a Southern California because that's what Arroyo Grande uses for their other indexes for other purposes, and it would be something that's familiar to their residents. So they're not seeing multiple CPI rates being applied to different things that they pay for.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Karen, do you have any questions?
Yeah. Community Facilities District, Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tax publicly owned property. You can't tap publicly owned property. Can you tap the railroad? Can you tap beaches and parks?
You can. We did not in our formula.
Why?
Well, because you'd be paying. Well, what we're looking at is who is it that receives the services?
Yeah, the
and
people on the beach.
The people on the beach do, but the beach itself doesn't. So the beach would be owned by
state
the government,
of California.
Right?
State parks,
so the state of California doesn't pay parcel taxes. They don't pay property taxes. So even though you could send them a handbill for that amount, it's not going to be something that you can place on the property tax rolls through the county.
Okay.
So
just because you can't. What about the railroad?
Railroads, you could. We did include a other developed category, and I can go back to that one. Other developed, which is 154 parcels, that there's some like airport, railroad, I think cemetery,
plant.
Those types of properties. I don't have the breakdown of all the ownership off the top of my head, but those were included in that other developed property. So if it's not specifically like a state of California or a city of Arroyo Grande, those weren't exempted. So that's that would fall under the other developed.
Well,
if they're
just
taxable on the
seems
at the county.
Like there's money there that you won't be able to get.
Well, from the other developed category, we got about 24,000. From the the other properties within this area, state of California would be the only thing that's not owned by either the city of Arroyo Grande, the city of Grover Beach, the city of or the county of San Luis Obispo, or the community services district. So you wouldn't want to tax yourselves when you're already paying into the budget. So that's really the reason behind that one.
I'd like to tax beaches and parks.
Okay.
They're using the equipment up a lot. Director Lucy, how do you?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up with one question. Are you done, Karen?
Well, I have one more question, but it's just it's a question that I get confused about all the time. I live in the town of Halcyon, which is a part of the Oceana Community Services District, and I don't know why Station 61 separates. I guess it's just I am confused why Halcyon is separated from Oceana when we're in the same service district.
Separated how?
Well, on page one of the introduction, it says Station 61 located in Oceana. Station 61 serves the community of Oceana, the town of Halcyon, and the Oceana Dunes State Vehicular Recreation Area.
And you're saying it should just read it serves Oceano and
or Oceano
and the dunes?
Halcyon.
Oh, okay.
We aren't separate entities.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just, we get confused a lot by that, and I think I would call it a minor error in the report.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
That can be
That's
fixed.
Just a minor criticism.
Okay.
You're next.
Go ahead, Mary.
I want to go back to that you used for your data set. You used the call-in center, which we'll talk about later. The whole dispatch ball, but So out of that, so if you're using that as your data set, right, how many of those calls went out to the state beach? What percentage of those calls went out to the state beach?
You know, I do have that data, but I don't have that off the top of my head.
Because that is extremely relevant when you're dealing with money, equipment, time, and stuff. If you do not take that into consideration as a separate entity, leading, I understand what you're saying, and but if pull it out and then it gives you a truer picture of what the residents in your JPA serve. You're saying that there's no money being pulled from that area, so I'd be interested in seeing exactly what the demand is. I think it runs between about 35% of your calls come off that, right?
Oh no. It's from the last time I looked at from May 5th of 11 to May 5th of 12, uh-huh. and in that 1 year period, we went out 156 times onto the dunes.
Okay.
So of 4,000 calls, that's much less.
Yeah, it's significant.
Well, 156 is, so.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, thank you. That answered that.
Karen?
One more question. This is not a criticism of firefighters, but I know firefighters don't make $100,000 a year. So you've got $304,000 for three firefighters, and that's in your report, total compensation. I'd like to know what else they get for that. I'm assuming they get retirement and life insurance and health insurance. And
That's correct. That's the full cost. That's what we build to the federal government for three firefighters or three engineers per year on that contract. So you're right. They're not making $100,000 a year, but when you add in their benefit package, that's what it comes up to. One firefighter would be just over $100,000.
That would include some training, too? Or just
no.
The training's down farther.
No.
Just PERS and retirement and
health, medical, dental.
Taxes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So workers' comp.
About $115,000 each.
About 100.
For the engineer.
For the engineers.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And you can see one battalion chief is 156, I believe.
159.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It was just so they...
Director Angela, do you have any questions?
I just have, on the when the ambulance rolls out and you guys are assisting with the ambulance, do you get any revenue kickback from that for the time that's spent?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Okay. That's something that's always kind of bothered me, I guess is the best word, is because a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, the fire department's there before they are or has to be there to assist them because of the manpower that they have. And I know that they have funds that come back to them on some of it. And I would think that we should be able to get a share of that for the firefighters.
Well, the ambulances are funded by the transports that they perform.
Right.
The fire department's are there, and we staff our fire departments not for medical aid calls. We staff them for fire response. The fire response always has to be there because we can't predict when or where the fire is going to occur. So the bonus to that is they're available for the medical aid calls. We have units dispersed throughout the three entities. San Luis Ambulance has two ambulances assigned to our area. So they go from Pismo down to Napomo, I think, and so they have two ambulances in that area. We have three fire companies right here, actually four now with the safer staffing, so we can cover our area quite well. Doesn't really make much difference who gets there first, who gets there second. The idea is that somebody gets there in a very timely fashion, so when that citizen has the need, they're being tended to properly. Like I say, responding with four different pieces of equipment into our area, our response time is about 5 minutes and 17 seconds, I believe, on average.
Right.
So, no, we don't get reimbursed, but it's one of the tasks that we provide.
Okay. Might be interesting to see how that could come about somewhere. Give me something else, and I forgot what it was. Let me think a minute.
Do you have any other questions?
Oh, the fire equipment that you have, I know a lot of it's going to need to be replaced and updated, and it's expensive. The huge, big monster they bought in Arroyo Grande, how many times have they used that since they purchased it? The three-story buildings and that type of thing.
Well, it goes out on every fire call. It goes out pretty much on every auto extrication. I don't have those numbers before me.
Seems like a very expensive piece of equipment with not too many buildings that were going to be using it for.
Well,
as that part of it goes, I think, you know, you could have probably gotten something more inexpensive, but still.
And so I think there's two concerns for me. Is one is making sure you have a winning proposal, and that it's marketed correctly so that it don't look like us trying to sell water from a couple years ago. And I think most people remember that. The second thing is that you ask for enough money to realistically meet the needs and to meet the needs of the staffing and to meet the needs of the equipment and maintenance and everything else that goes along with it, because what you don't want to end up in a position where, you know, at $50, well, we can get to 80% of our needs, and we got to keep asking for more money because everybody's going to think, well, we just gave you $1 million. What do you mean you want more money? And it, you know, I just don't think that'll go over well. And so I think part of the public education and the I don't think marketing is the right word. I don't know what you call
the outreach.
But it is marketing, you know, to educate people and to bring them around to say, you know what, this is something that we need. It's local control of tax dollars, and the higher taxes are something that everybody's sensitive to, but it is local control of tax dollars for local services, people that live in our communities and work in our communities and shop in our stores. And so I think for myself, I'll be asking Director Hurdle to make this go forward, and I appreciate the presentation. So.
I too.
Well, Chief, I have your attention. What was the response time for Oceana before the JPA was formed? Does anybody?
I don't know.
I know that there's a couple guys in the department who. What was
Captain
Oceana's response time?
Depends on.
Before
the JPA was formed, when we were independent.
Frankly, before the JPA came about, we were independent, and we were still waiting on a volunteer system to show up. We had to wait for three people to show up to the station before we could go, very long waits at time. Nighttime, much shorter response because people were home. During the day, when people couldn't just break away from work, we could wait here 10, 15 minutes waiting for enough staff to show up to be able to return to a call.
Okay.
When that evolved and we started splitting shifts between Grover Beach working, you know, evening shifts, Oceana working daytime shifts, and then vice versa, again, our response times improved, but we were only here for a week at a time, and then a week off. So, the week we're off, those response times were, again, out the roof for how long it took. But since we've come to the JPA, the response times have all become reasonable because we have the available staff to go and make those calls.
Okay. Thank you.
I may not have exact numbers, but I think we'll be spending $3.6 million for three stations, and isn't Pismo spending $4 million for two?
Mm-hmm.
6.8 for two stations?
Well, no, wait, no, wait.
Okay. Did I open up a can of worms, Chief? I don't mean to.
They signed their contract for 6.8, but it's a 3 or 4 year contract.
Okay.
Their annual budget is, I think, is it up here? Yeah, $2.047 million.
For two stations.
For two stations.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you look at Pismo and Morro Bay, I caution you to, you know, we shouldn't be fashioning ourselves after that. I mean, let's face it, Pismo, with a population of 8,000, has two fire stations. You put that city where there are no tourists, they wouldn't have any fire stations. The same with Morro Bay.
Right.
The Morro Bay engine company answers 1,800 calls a year for a community of 10,000. That you know, it's the tourists that drive that. So while those costs are high, I caution you, don't, you know, it's unusual. It's an abnormality.
Are there any other questions? Or
I have a comment. I want to thank both of you for the informative presentation, and I'd also like to say that I, too, think this is a good idea. I side to the or lean to the side of the safety for the officers first. I think that's very important, the firefighters. And the suppression stats are very important to me also. If there are national standards out there, I think that they should be met. And I think it's a very constructive way of meeting the needs of our fire authority. Thank you.
Thank you. And so, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I have one more comment. I do think it would be a really good idea to go after the state Oceana Dunes, because I know they have a pretty good income. I pay.
We can discuss it. Like,
sure.
I say, it's not in our jurisdiction.
But we could, just kind of throw it around.
It either belongs to the state, or there's a small portion that belongs to the county.
Mm-hmm.
I know there may be a way to annex the county part into Oceano. But again, the state park is not part of our jurisdiction. And how do we, I guess we can contract for services with them. That would be one way to do it. But under an automatic aid agreement, we would have to contract for the services.
Yeah, I think would be a great idea.
I just had a quick question on your staff report. The alternatives was, the first one was to receive the study and report from NBS, provide direction to the Oceana Community Services District representative to the Five Cities Fire Authority to proceed with the process of forming, and you wrote, a special financing district. Is that the same as the Community Facilities District?
Yes. The special financing district is a kind of an umbrella term. A parcel tax is what I'm asking for. That is the more accurate term.
Okay.
It has a little more clarity to it.
So, organizationally, how would that look? Right now, you know, the JPA is three entities that came together, and, mm-hmm. and we know what the organizational structure looks like. So what does a special financing district look like?
In addition to, isn't
sure,
it?
Yeah, actually, those are districts, not in the sense of a special district like you guys are. This is more of a financing tool or mechanism. So it's not an existing district with its own board. It would belong to the Five Cities Fire Authority, and they would act as, I would say they act as the legislative body, but really there's not even a true legislative body, and that's the difference between a financing district versus an existing special district like yourselves.
And I have to say this, is that, and I don't work on the fire, so I only can go by the reports and what the chief, you know, has, but, you know, I know things aren't always fair, you know, and somebody told me early on in life, they said, well, the fair is either in Paso Robles or in Pomona. and so, you know, but when it comes to the fire, you know, it comes to Oceano, is that what we've done and we've gotten caught up in is we build projects, right? We put our heart and soul into them, and then somehow they slip away, you know, and it's happened more than once in this town. And so the fire department is, you know, the heart, part of the heartbeat of this little town, you know. And so it was very risky just for people to trust and have the three entities come together, you know. And I remember sitting in those meetings when the first study was done on building a JPA and stuff, but they pulled it off. And so then, you know, and then this last year with the union negotiations and not being part of that, just going on people's reports and stuff, Grover Beach
was gifted, let's just say that, you know. Arroyo Grande, you know, was gifted with equipment, you know, and Oceana was, you know, kind of like left out of the loop or however, and everybody has their different interpretation of that. So some of us are very leery about building projects and then having them slip away from us. And we have several examples around town. Community Center, for one. I don't know about how many people have gone in there, but that is an example. So that's kind of where my hesitancy is that I have troubles trusting when it comes to the dollar and Oceano.
I suggest that we, if there's no other discussion, go with the staff recommendation in the staff report, which was three parts. We received the feasibility study and the report. We've done that. The second part was to provide direction to the Five Cities Fire Authority representative to proceed with the process of forming a special financing district. That'd be Director Hurdle. And three, provide direction to the Five Cities Fire Authority representative with regard to community outreach, link the special tax and CPI options for the potential formation of a special financing district. And I think our direction there, this is my opinion, should be to go forward, keep working with Chief Aranez and Ms. Light and the rest of the Fire Authority's board and report back to us with what you think the best practice would be. That would be my recommendation. Is the rest of the board agree with that?
I support moving forward as fast as we can, because the more studies we have, the more money we spend that doesn't put out fires.
In terms of a timeline for the special election and the Prop 218 issues and things like that, assuming the board chooses to go forward with staff recommendations, what is the timeline you guys are looking at in terms of sending that issue out to the voters?
Sure. The grant funding runs out in September of 2014, so the funds are needed by then. There are two upcoming elections that the county has an option for, a special election this coming August, which would require a little bit tighter of a timeline, and they have to have everything 88 days ahead of that, so it would be by May that all of this would have to be decided and done. And I don't think that's the direction everyone's leaning at this point in time, because they want to make sure there's sufficient education and outreach to make sure we have a successful passage. The second is the primary special election election in June. And so June of 2014, either way, either election, the levy would go on the 2013-14 tax rolls. And the first monies would start coming in December of 2014 to January 2015.
Mm-hmm. And how much would the election be? You said $120,000, right? Is that correct?
Well, that was the high end of the range. If you were to go with a community facilities district, that's not the goal at this point in time. And it has to be a county election with county polling places. So it's actually their fee schedule, if you will, because it has to go through the Registrar of Voters office. And so I think by doing it in June, it also saves some money.
Can you give me some money numbers?
The closest estimate I got for a special election in August was $4.50 per registered voter, which came out to about $100,000.
So then $70,000 for this report. So now you're at $170,000.
I'm sorry. That was actually closer to $15,000. The other amount was for the formation of a benefit assessment district that we're not going forward with.
Right.
We did not recommend that.
I'd like to point out that when we had the ballot initiative on the last general election, our costs were right around $5,000. So that was Oceano's cost to have the ballot initiative on. I don't know what the difference is, but that's what we paid.
And Chase, since we're providing direction, I don't think we need a vote at this point, do we? There's not something to vote on.
You instruct the district representative Well, no, I think you do need to vote for this, actually, because you're instructing her to go forward
to follow with this recommendation.
So okay. I think this is, I mean, this is decision making that guys are engaging in.
But, yeah, I would really feel more, I understand what you're trying to do here and everything, but I'm getting so many different sets of numbers, and too many, you know, it's a lot to go from 77,000 to 120,000. That's a wide berth there, you know. And so my hesitancy is, you know, the numbers, you know, trying to get an accurate picture. Was it 79,000 or was it 15,000 for the study? You know, that's where I'm having problems with, is that the numbers just aren't jiving with what you're saying, what's on paper, and what you're proposing.
Okay.
And then also too, is did you look at any other areas for funding besides going back to the voters and spending all this money to get basically
okay,
how much you need?
Well, one question at a time, because you're right, there's three sets of numbers, and so it can be very confusing, and I don't want you to feel confused on it. The dollar amount that NBS is under contract with in total is $64,000, I believe. That is for a two-part study. Okay, so it's both for the study itself and then the actual formation of the district. So the whole contract covers both, should the board and all the councils decide to go down that route. After doing the study, and actually about halfway through the middle of the study, taking a look at the numbers and what it was going to do for the fire authority and what it wasn't going to do for the fire authority, I made the recommendation, and my firm made the recommendation, not to go through with phase two and form the benefit assessment because it wasn't in the community's and the fire authority's best interest. So our portion that we did was only phase one, which came up to about the $14,000-$15,000 range. Okay. I don't have the actual billings in front of me, so I apologize. But that's the actual amount that was paid for the report that you have.
So the contract now with you is for $15,000, not $64,000, right?
The correct, yes. The remainder of it will not be used because we're not going forward with that option.
Okay. But
so
you see what I'm saying.
I do. I understand.
You're asking us to support you in it. And you know what? We do. I wholeheartedly support the guys that run these departments. I really, really do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to have numbers in front of me that work.
I'm not asking you to support me so much as I'm asking you to support the fire district.
But the guys who work the station,
yes,
and stuff, I do want to do what's best for them.
Yes.
Don't ask me how I feel about consultants.
I'm getting an idea. I'm getting an idea. But I assure you that we did not recommend going through the more cost. Suggested it didn't meet the full need of the budget at the time, and so they asked us to rerun the numbers just last week before I came up here in order to meet the full need, which was the $1.444 million in revenue. So that's where that all comes from.
As an aside, Director Angelo needs to be recused on this issue.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And she's left the room. I think she left.
And the reason why is because her son is a firefighter with the authority.
And so with that, it's a four-person board. We still have a quorum at this time. If I understand the recommendation correctly, Chief and Ms. Light, is that it's to direct Director Hurdle to go ahead and keep working on the issue. You know, we don't have there's not a hammered out plan, but this is where we're at this point, and this is the direction that we'd like to see it go, and the numbers will be firm for all of our edification and understanding later, and we'll have an idea of what exactly the form is going to look like.
Exactly.
Form and substance. Okay.
Yes.
And with that, that's why I understood, that's why I read it. I understand the concerns. We just don't have the details at this point, sort of a preliminary budget, so to speak. I'd make a motion to approve staff's recommendation and to direct Director Hurdle to cooperate with the district.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there any opposed?
Now, you have to promise that you're going to get the proper, the accurate numbers, and you need to take every single typo out of this report because it just sends me over the edge. It makes me, well, I'm just not going to go on any further, but it makes me wonder spending money when I see a report with typos in it. It's just, sorry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Chief. Thank you, Ms. Light. Thank you to all the firefighters that came this evening. Moving on to item number 11C, discussion, codification, and direct District Legal Counsel Martin to complete in 60 days. Chase, you want to give the staff report on this? You want me to do it?
Yes, I'll do it.
You want to wait a second?
You want to wait a second?
Oh, wait, hold on.
They didn't even catch his name.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Tom. Okay, go ahead, Chase.
The issue came up at our last board meeting regarding codification, and I looked over a binder that Carol Ann had been putting together, and she's been doing an awesome, awesome job.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Carol Ann.
At compiling all of our resolutions and ordinances together into one place. It really is something that is going to be very handy. It's not good policy to have a mad dash to try to find all of the work that we've done months and maybe years after we've already done it. And that's the idea of codification. Molly Thurman from our office is actually the one I would direct to do this project. She is moving to Albuquerque, and her husband got a job out there, and she's going to have a lot of time on her hands and is more than willing to tackle this project, and she would be really good at it. Okay. This is the kind of thing that she's actually done this before. So I would recommend that the board direct legal counsel to go ahead and try to codify all of our former ordinances, all of our resolutions, update everything. I'll direct Molly to do it. And she'll be able to do it quickly. She'll be able to get it done efficiently. She's the perfect person to do this. So that's my recommendation.
And, you know, I can meet with Ms. Thurman probably in a couple months.
On your own? Take a trip out there?
Well, yes, I do have a vested interest in Albuquerque.
All right.
So, I'll be heading that way.
And part of the understanding...
You just check up on the status of this thing, right?
Yeah, make sure she's working.
Yeah, make sure that, you know, it's being codified.
Very nice.
And they got some pretty good wine there.
How much is it going to cost?
How much more, because we got nailed on this before.
And that's right.
I mean, we spent a lot of money doing something that's
$45,000.
And it never got completed.
No.
And so what Carol Ann has done is she's gone through and she's pulled all of those sources together and resources together.
Yeah, I read it.
And what's going to happen is ideally we'll put this on our website, and it'll say lighting, and we'll have all the codes and amendments and such that go to lighting. Fire department, everything that, you know, boom, 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 all of our jurisdictional areas will be readily accessible on that, and it'll all be compiled. When I don't know if there was a budget that was particularly set, Chase. Did you?
I don't think there was a budget that was set in particular, but I would organize in a certain fashion. It would be something similar to that instead of...
I understand all that. I'm just trying to think if this has priority over a new jetter or a flooring for the building or something. I'm just asking.
Well, whether it has priority over another item of district business isn't really... That's not something I go to answer.
Yeah,
something for the board to answer.
It's a policy question.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things we could do is we could ask Molly to look at it and come back to us with a proposed budget.
Originally...
Sure, that's fine.
When this was started, right, it was, it was actually going through each section, each power, right, word for word, and regurgitating it and getting it
you know. And really, it was just, it was a shell game.
Mm-hmm.
It really was a shell game.
From what I read today, I read some of the manuals that we took home, and you could kind of see it just kind of moving back
to,
and forth.
Yeah, to have to sit there and watch, at that time, our legal counsel abuse the people, it was just too much. So I'm sure it won't be to that, and it'll be narrowed down to one binder, you know, comprehensive, inclusive, on a USB port drive, and that's it. Yeah, that'd be great. But right now, I don't know where it was left.
I think maybe the appropriate direction is to instruct me to get together with Ms. Thurman, and I can work with Carol Ann, and we can pull together all those documents just so that we can show it to Molly, and we can come up with a proposed budget for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'd like a budget.
Yeah,
I think that makes sense. We'll put this on the agenda for the next meeting.
Sure.
And you can come back with a proposed budget to finish up the codification of the work that was already started.
It's a good idea.
So that'll be the board direction. Moving on to item number 11D, discussion of South Kennedy sanitation. There's two items here, and I'll be doing the staff report. The first one is to receive input from the member agencies, which is the member board here, the OCSD, on increasing the board to 5 members. And B, input from the board regarding input from the board to rotate board meeting location. There's two issues that are going on. One is the sanitation district is a 3-person board, and Mayor Peterson and I have discussed in open session and during the sanitation district meetings, as has public comment specifically from Ms. Lucy, about opening the board up to be a 5-person board. The advantage there is we can have more voices on the board. The secondary advantage is that I can have discussions, or any other board member can have discussions with another board member without easily running afoul of the Brown Act.
Right.
Has not been a lengthy discussion. I did receive a memo from Mike Seitz today regarding that. It's attorney-client. I'll ask if the board is interested in seeing that memo. If Tom, you guys can, maybe we'll ask Tom to call Mike, or I can call Mike and see if he's okay with me releasing it to the rest of the board or the public, depending on what you guys think. The second thing, the second item on the agenda was the input from each of our councils regarding rotating the board meeting location. As everybody knows, well, as most people know, the sanitation district meetings are held here in Oceano at the OCSD on the Wednesdays that we're not in session. The discussion is, do we, since we have Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande as member agencies, do we periodically, quarterly, each meeting, rotate the meeting to the different places so it could be held, you know, in Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach? The concern there is consistency and also availability of the meeting space. You know, other places have different meetings going on at different times, and so the other board members, namely Mayor Farrar and Mayor Peterson, were going to look into that, because I think it's helpful to us to keep it on Wednesday nights. And I'm comfortable with coming to Oceano because I live down the street. So for me, I like keeping it here, but I do understand there might be some more citizen participation. If you have been to the meetings, the SAN district meetings, we've had citizenry showing up from Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande lately, coming to our meetings. And it was like kind of like tonight. We've had a lot of people there. Jennifer can tell you. I'm sorry to single you out, but Jennifer can tell you. Barbara, yeah. Barbara's hiding behind the podium, though, so I can't see her. But
I can see you. Uh-oh. You've been put on notice.
How's my hair? I'm just kidding.
Could I ask a question?
Sure. Go ahead, Karen.
If you're making the board to 5, who would the other 2 members be? Would they be a public member, or?
That's part of the discussion, is who to appoint as members. There's been a discussion of having Adam Hill appoint one.
I can complain.
What's the best way to handle that? And I did speak briefly with Paul Teixeira about it. I have not spoken with Adam Hill about it, but I know that I found out that Paul was approached by Mayor Farrar as well. So.
Okay.
Well, this is, I guess I'm a little confused on this. It's like
the number of board members is just part of the organizational structure that really needs to be discussed in that particular arena. So I kind of see it broken out in three areas, is that you need to have a good discussion on operations, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. what is happening on the ground level, what is the staffing patterns, what does that look like, right? And then organizationally. And in the organizational, one proposal would be to expand your board. I actually am a big fan of at-large seats because there's less room for coercion. You know, there's less room for favoritism. And I think that many times community seats can hold you even more accountable mm-hmm. than elected. For example, you know, if you had an at-large seat for the farmers, you know, in the area, don't tell me that the farmers would not hold that representative accountable. Most definitely they would. Same way with environmental. So I don't understand why there was this push, this lobby, to go run to the Board of Supervisors to have an appointment to run afoul.
There wasn't a push or a lobby.
Yes, there was.
Well, not by me.
Not by me.
I want to give you a little history lesson because I read this.
When they first
started the sanitation district, it was a five-member board,
yes.
and the two seats were held by the fourth district supervisor and the third district supervisor. And somewhere, somehow, those seats were vacated, and it became a three-person board.
That's right. They went to Sacramento, and they had legislators change it for them. And so it was no less than three is what that law says. So I'm a little confused, you know, on... I see the number of board members in a larger picture, in a larger discussion, where you're going to have your meetings in a larger, you know, picture, a larger discussion. And that's kind of how I feel about it. And then the last would be, you know, one, you know, just organizationally, how does it look?
Well, those details have not been hammered out, and this discussion is probably longer than the discussion we actually had in the sanitation district meeting about it. It was brought up, I want to say about a month ago by Mayor Peterson, right about the same time you made public comment on it. And then it came up again, and it came up in the context of, why don't we go ask our boards if that's what they want to do? And that's that. As far as organizational, I think that's what you're going to see happening. You're going to see with the new administration, ultimately new engineering firm or firms handling the engineering at the place, you're going to see an operational
change.
Yeah, but what's the word I'm looking for?
Spit shine.
Yeah, Tom's leaving. You're going to see an operational shift, overview, bottom-up review, top-down review. Call it what you want. Everything's going to be looked at, especially with the new, you know, negative, unsatisfactory reports that are coming out. I think I've lost track. It's probably at least 10 plaintiffs that are suing the sanitation district right now,
yeah.
not including the state, not including the NOVs, not including the unsatisfactory
neighbors.
Letters. Yeah, neighbors. And so somebody's going to have to look at the whole operational aspect of the sanitation district. It's necessary. You have to.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a rebuilding, really.
And in that, I would like to see it go to a five-person board because you have to have another board member that you can network with.
I agree.
You know, and I think that as far as election versus going an at-large accountable to a distinct population, I think that... that accountability is the least and is kind of a weak argument, in my opinion.
Karen? Sure, said Barb. Karen, do you have any thoughts on that? You were shaking your head during...
Yeah, I just... How do I say this? I mean, this group is elected, and then you go to you're elected, and you go to the SAN meeting. Okay, the supervisor elected, and they appoint somebody to go to the SAM meeting or they can go themselves, there is recourse from the voters.
Armand?
Just
for the record.
Wait one second.
We were going to...
You were so pushy.
Are you done with this discussion?
Yes.
Okay. You said this doesn't happen very much, but I mean, since Barbara has already gone through public comment once, she can't get extra public comment time allotted to her unless she has only allotted how many...
She's used 3 minutes.
She only used probably less than a minute. She didn't talk very long.
That's what I thought. But just to be caught wary
yes.
of that.
Yes.
She's only done one session.
Yeah, we don't want another hearing crash.
You can't comment right now. But we have to keep track of the total time.
And I'm going to exercise that discretion, and Barbara Mann or Jennifer Blackburn, if you'd like to.
I have a question, since the Sand District is a special district, is it not?
Yes.
Well, then maybe it's time that the Sand District Special District holds an election to get their people, rather than we saying we have one from Oceana, one from Grover, one from Pismo. If you want to have a five-man board, it goes out in the election, and the five people that are elected are on the board. Seems to be that would be a much better way to do it than the way you're doing it now.
You know, I like that idea, Barbara. One of the things I would think, though, is I would like to make sure that there's at least one representative from Oceana, at least one representative from Grover, at least one representative from Arroyo Grande, because Arroyo Grande's got the largest citizenry, and they could take over the board. And Oceana, the plant, is in our, it's not even our backyard, it's in our, yeah, it's right downtown, basically, and so... You know, we want that local control and that local voice.
I would say, like a school board, where you have one from Oceana,
right.
One from Grover, one from AG, or
right.
whatever, but not somebody from this board sitting on there.
That's a good model. Is the school board?
And then they would be certainly more accountable, and then you guys would really go after them.
Right. And so, at this point, though, you know, being what it is until that all got changed, my inclination would be to have the supervisors or their appointee fill those two spots. Is that anybody disagree?
Me. As an interim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until we figured out how to do it.
Yeah.
Karen, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. And as far as rotating the meeting location, do the rest of you think we ought to just keep it here?
Yeah, I think that's stupid because then people don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm. That would be the problem. All right, let's move on to item number 12, utility items. None. Board member comments. Can I start?
Sure.
You know, I really appreciate the community's involvement and support that we've got. Barbara Mann's got her shirt on tonight. You know, Tom pointed out the other night, or 2 weeks ago, that now don't let facts get in the way of a good story, and allegations were getting made. You know, we control our own agenda. I don't spend a lot of time or any time letting other people control our agenda. But, ladies and gentlemen, the public, a representation was made that he's not an enrolled agent. I have seen Tom Gieselin's enrolled agent card, okay, during the course of conversation. You know, it's just unfortunate that the public comment period is being taken advantage of under this theory of which I am the biggest supporter of First Amendment rights, and you'll find nobody that's a larger supporter than I am. But there are often time, place, and manner restrictions. Unfortunately, veracity is not necessarily one of those. And so if we can correct the record where we can, this is one of those times where I felt like it should be corrected. And so I'll pass the... Why don't we go this way this time? I'll pass the gavel to Director Angelo. Any comments tonight?
No. I better keep them to myself. No.
Director Hurdle? Director White?
No, I better not say anything.
Mary Lucy?
You know what? I thought it was a great meeting tonight. I thought it was informational. It was really great seeing the community come out. Did anybody talk about Facebook? I'm sorry, I had to step out of the room for a second. Recently, somebody has opened up a Facebook account under Oceana Community Services District. We have nothing to do with that, and we suspect we know who it is, but I actually think it's identity theft. It is using, it has pictures of our coming into town, going out of town signs on the web page. It has one friend, a Julie Tackert.
And they also put Mr. Gieselin's personal cell phone number.
They also stole.
You know how I say, which up.
Number 14, received written communications. Tom?
As I reported earlier, we got the three proposals from the three separate engineering firms. We haven't had a chance to look at it. I also got the written communication on the expanding the sanitation district board. Mm-hmm. I also got the notice of the special meeting. And I think that's it. Everything else I reported on. I want to make one thing really clear, though. Person approached the microphone and said that we did not file the compensation report. And that is accurate. We did not file it, but I need it. It just shows that those people don't pay attention to the meetings. That was for 2011. I started in June of 2011, and one of the first things we discovered was that a quarter of the payroll was recorded on AS400, and three quarters of the payroll was set up on Tyler, and it was set up wrong. And so we knew that we had to go back through and recalculate that. That's being handled. It's already been handled, and we have a set of numbers. But since we're completing the audit, we want to see what the audit numbers are, tie the two. I've had conversations with the state. They know where we are. We are not going to get fined. This is just one more slap in the face. And the other thing is somebody made the statement that I don't like them. That's not even true. I'm indifferent. What I don't like is the fact that they're constantly attacking me and attacking my character, and they've never been able to back it up in fact, and that's the thing that I'm irritated by. And I'm very much appreciative to all the people that came out tonight to support me and to support my staff and to support this board in everything that they did. And other than that, that's it.
I received late received written communications. I think that covers it. Number 16, future agenda items. Anything else other than what we've covered this evening?
Director Hurdle asked me to republish the schedule for committee meetings, and I'll make sure that's in the Friday report so everybody can schedule them.
And okay. We'll put the one thing we're going to need to do is set up a committee to review the RFPs.
Right, we need to do that as well.
So we'll add that to our first meeting up front.
Right.
I would encourage everybody to come and take a look at the RFPs between now and then. And then we'll not only set up a committee, but a procedure for going about it. There's only three. We might want to just interview all three of them, you know. But that would make the most sense. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Public comment? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Can I ask for one thing we put on the agenda next time?
Yes, of course.
You know what? There's been, like, for example, I was up very late the other night, and I caught Brad Pomeroy on TV.
Pomerantz.
And then I caught Tom Gieselin. Uh-huh. And I didn't know that, right? And I didn't know that Matt had been on it. And I didn't. So there's all these PR things going on, like, we wouldn't have known about this if Linda hadn't come and told us. So, you know, there's these little, pretty little pictures out there. And so I was wondering if there was some way we could bring that stuff to the board. You know, so we have what Matt's done. We have what Tom's done. I think it's a great use of airtime, and it's a positive thing for the community. But also, too, is it helps the community see beyond just this board. So I think it would be a really cool thing.
Well, do you want to present it? I mean, do you want to play it?
Let me just interrupt on that. I was approached by Charter. They called and said, hey, we're doing something, and you've been getting a lot of notoriety. And they said, would you like to come on? And so I came on, and I did it. And then they said, who is your board president? And I said, Matt Guerrero. And they said, okay, then we would like to have Mr. Guerrero. Now, the last one I did is on headline news, there's these little 2 or 3 minute spots that they run. And so I've been asked to see if any of you would like to schedule to go on during the headline news ones. So
the problem with the headline news ones is that AGP cannot figure out how to get any sound.
Yeah.
Well, it's not AGP that does it. This is done in a Charter studio, but Matt and I will both.
Charter, excuse me, I take that back, AGP. But the Channel 2 one you can hear very clearly. But when they break into 41, right, your lips are just moving.
I'm surprised I didn't come out tonight.
So I had to go on the computer and find you.
But so anyways, for the March 7th and 8th, they emailed me and said they have a couple spots, so I can. That is the one negative deal that
they
make you up like you're somebody.
Pancake.
All right, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, everybody have a good night. It's 9:32.